Well, greetings, brethren. Happy Sabbath again, and happy Sabbath to everyone who will hear this tape later. We're going into part two today of the message of the good news of the kingdom, and I think last week we laid a very good foundation. We set out on how the covenant started with Abraham. We set out of how it went through the Davidic line, how the kingdom was divided. I explained about how Israel was not just the Jews, but there were 12 brothers. The 10 brothers to the north made the northern kingdom, and Judah and Benjamin was the south. I explained how they went into captivity, 722 BC. The Assyrians took the northern tribe. All over the world they scattered them, just as the scripture said. We read in the scripture in Hosea that said that Ephraim would be wanderers among the nation for their idolatry. I didn't get into too much about the Babylonian captivity, but in 580, starting in 605 BC, because Judah after that, Judah stayed a nation, they were faithful, they had some good kings like Hezekiah and Josiah, but then they had a real, real wicked king called Manasseh. And Manasseh shed much innocent blood, and he burned a lot of the children to Moloch. And because of his wickedness, Yahweh said, I'm also going to pull the kingdom from Judah. And starting in 605 BC, under Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians came in, and they made the first siege on Jerusalem. 605 was the first one. 596 was the second one, 596 BC. And 586 BC was the third siege, and that's when they destroyed the temple. They left some people in the land, and by 572 BC, all the Israelites were taken out of the land. They were all gone by 572 BC. And they were not a nation again until 1948, which is prophetic. We have a tape called Israel the Fig Tree, where I go into how these dates were laid out in prophecy. That we could have known, you could have known if you lived in the year 1200 AD when Israel would be a nation again, because of the way Yahweh laid out the specific amount of years they would be in captivity, 2520 until 1948. But what happened was they went into captivity, and I went into the reason why. Because of sin. Because of idolatry and sin, I went into the scriptures how the Messiah had to come as a guilt offering. We saw that in Isaiah 53, because there is no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. And the blood of bulls and goats cannot forgive sin. And every one of us, and every one of them, was a murderer and an idolater because none of us kept the law in perfect. And we know that all you had to do, the soul that sins, it shall die. That Deuteronomy 27:26, he who doesn't keep all the things of the law is under that curse. And again, we also have a tape called Which Covenant Are You Under? It deals with circumcision being the sign of the Old Covenant and baptism being the sign of the New Covenant. It's very important, and why Paul strictly forbid new Gentile believers not to be circumcised, because they would have been putting themselves under the Old Covenant, where the curse of that covenant is cursed be everyone that's not keeping all the things of the law. But we went into all that, and I think we're up to a good point now, because what I'm going to start going over today is now Yeshua's ministry. And after knowing these things, remember, he wasn't the Elohim, Yahweh, of India or China or all these other places. He made a covenant through Abraham, through Isaac, and through Jacob, whose name changed to Israel. And that's why there was a greater accountability to Israel, because they were under covenant with Yahweh. And when Yeshua came, he didn't come to save the world, as we're going to see. Ultimately, he will. But what he came to do is he came to Israel. See, they were the only ones under this death penalty. So he had to come to them first. Ultimately, all mankind is under a death penalty because they're all sinners. But Yahweh works in a judicial order. And he's not going to save the world before he saves Israel. He started with Israel. And remember how many times, I even read it in Ezekiel 20, or read about when Moses took the children of Israel out into the wilderness. How many times was Yahweh ready to smite them right there because they were so wicked? But he said, yet the nations around think, oh, Yahweh took them out of Egypt and couldn't bring them to the promised land. And he says, for my name's sake, I won't do this. For my name's sake, I'm going to keep my promise. And that's the reason. For his name's sake, he's got to have this judicial order. He's got to save Israel before he can save the world. Because if he can't save one family, how on earth is he ever going to save the whole world? And that's why we'll see here, some of the things Yeshua said will make more sense to you now. That Yeshua came as the Messiah of Israel. Let's go to Luke 1, and we'll see the prophecy from Zacharias John the Baptist's father. This is in Luke, the first chapter. Luke 1, and starting in verse 67. Luke 1 in verse 67. And his father, Zacharias, John the Baptist's father, was filled of the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Almighty Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, because he visited and worked redemption for his people, for Israel. And he raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Just like we read last week, it was prophesied he would come through David. Even as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from the age before. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of those hating us. To execute mercy with our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. The oath which he swore to our father Abraham. To give to us that we being delivered out of our enemies' hand in order to serve him without fear. In consecration and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called prophet of the Most High, and you will go before the face of the Almighty to prepare his ways, to give a knowledge of salvation to his people by forgiveness of their sins. That's the only way we can get salvation, like we said last time. Through the tender bowels of mercy of our Elohim, in which the day spring from on high will visit us, to appear to those sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, to direct our feet in the way of peace. See, this is what John the Baptist's father prophesied. You know, that Yeshua was coming to his people Israel. To his people Israel. Let's go to Matthew 15. And you may have never understood why Yeshua said this, but now understanding that it was only Israel that was under covenant with Yahweh, that it was only Israel that needed a Messiah to save them from the sin of that covenant. And that's the Messiah came, why Yeshua reacted this way to this woman. Matthew 15, starting in verse 21. And going out from there, Yeshua withdrew to the parts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan, this was a Gentile, a pagan, she was a Canaanite, coming forth from those borders, cried out to him, saying, Have pity on me, Master, son of David. My daughter is vilely demon-possessed. But he did not answer her a word. And coming near, his disciples asked him, saying, Send her away, for she cries out after us. But answering, he said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But coming, she worshipped him, saying, Master, help me. But answering, he said, Is it not good to take the bread of the children and throw it to the little dogs? But she said, Yes, Master, for even the little dogs eat of the crumbs falling from the table of their masters. Then answering, Yeshua said to her, O woman, your faith is great. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that hour. Now, on the outset, when you look at this, you say, Why on earth would Yeshua not heal a daughter at first? And why would he say to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs? Because there was a judicial order, like I said. What did he say? I did not come but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And I'm going to show. I'm not saying Yeshua is not going to save the world and that Yahweh doesn't care about other people. He does, and we'll see that. But first, there's got to be a judicial order. First, he came to Israel. He started a plan with Israel, and he's going to finish his plan with Israel. And then, once Yeshua returns, as we're going to read in Isaiah 66, that's when salvation will go out to the other nations. At this point, salvation is only through Israel. And this will be clear today. By the time I'm done with this message, you will see that it is only by... I'm not saying a Gentile cannot receive salvation, as we're going to see. What I'm saying is the Gentile has to become part of Israel. Israel doesn't become Gentile. And that, I want to make that point very clear. But this is a very key scripture. Yeshua was very clear. There's no way to get this wrong. He did not come but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. There's a message I'm working on called The Outcast of Israel, where I document through history where the 12 apostles went through. And when you look on where they went, you could see where these lost tribes are. And they went all over. They went to India. They went to Pakistan. They went up toward the Caspian Sea, all searching out the lost tribes of the house of Israel. That's who Yeshua went to them. And Paul, he was the apostle to the Gentiles. He was the one that went to Gentile places like Galatia and Corinth and some of these other places. But it was the apostles that went to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that's where Yeshua came. He came to redeem Israel. And even the Gentiles that became part of the one tree, as we'll read here in Romans, Yahweh did not become Gentile. They became Israelite. And it's an awesome plan as we see this. But salvation in the kingdom is only for Israel. What did we say? What was the covenant about? It was about one man and one land and one family. You can't separate them. You can't separate the land from the covenant, from the family. It's all intertwined. You show me one covenant in Scripture that Yahweh made with, someone called Muhammad, or somebody called Patel, or something else. Yahweh didn't do it. He made his covenant through one man, Abraham. Abraham. Let's go to Matthew 10, because I got a lot of evidence to show this. Matthew 10 and verse 5, this is what Yeshua said. Yeshua sent these 12 out, charging them, commanding them, saying, do not go into the way of the nations, the Gentiles, and do not go into a city of the Samaritans, Gentiles, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And going on, proclaim, saying, the kingdom of heaven has drawn near. See, the kingdom is about the redeeming of Israel. It's about the redeeming of Israel. If we go to John 11, John the 11th chapter, we'll see something that Caiaphas the high priest said right before Yeshua died, and he didn't even know what he was saying, as Scripture tells us. John 11, verse 49 through verse 54. John 11, verse 49 through verse 54. But a certain one of them, Caiaphas, being high priest of that year, said to them, you know nothing, nor consider that it is profitable for us that one man die for the people, and not all the nation to perish. But he did not say this from himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Yeshua was about to die on behalf of the nation. And not only on behalf of the nation, the Jews at that time, but that he also might gather into one the children of Yahweh who had been scattered, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then from that day they took counsel that they might kill him. Very, very interesting. Therefore Yeshua no longer walked publicly among the Jews, but he went away into the country near the desert to a city being called Ephraim. Stayed there with his disciples. Very, very interesting that he goes to Ephraim. First he's saying he didn't come just to die for the Jews, but that he may gather all the children of Israel. And then he goes off to Ephraim, the northern tribe. Because the northern tribe became the house of Ephraim. They were the sons of Joseph. We have a tape called The Birthright and the Scepter. And Joseph, The Birthright and the Messiah. These are two very, very good tapes where I specifically go into the difference of the northern tribe of Ephraim and the southern tribe of Judah. And to the northern tribe, they were given the birthright promises of the firstborn. And the southern tribe, the Judah, they were given the promises of the scepter, the promises of kingship. If you don't have these tapes, please ask for them. We'd be more than happy to send them. But I don't want to veer too much off the subject today, because what I want to specifically go into here is Yeshua's mission. Yeshua's mission the first time he came to earth was to save Israel. The second time he comes to earth, as we'll read, he will bring salvation to all the world. But the first time he came to save Israel. And I mean, these scriptures are clear. How can you argue with them? Very clear, he said to the woman, I did not come but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she pleaded with him. He said, is it right to take the children, the Israelites' food, and give it to dogs? That's what Gentiles were called. But he still had mercy to heal her, which is important too. It shows you his mercy. Because by her faith, he still healed her because of her mercy. Let's go to John 1 and verse 11. John 1 and verse 11. Because, like I said, in the time of Yeshua, there were mostly Jews living in Israel. The 10 tribes were already into captivity. We already said they went into captivity by Assyria in 722 BC. Yeshua was on the scene, let's say 27 AD, 750 years later. So they were already lost, the tribes. They were already scattered all around the world. And primarily who lived in Israel at that time were Jews. There were some Israelites. And you could read in Ezra and Nehemiah, you'll see at least remnants of 6 or 7 tribes came back to the land after they came out of the Babylonian captivity. But as a whole, the house of Israel was not in the land. There were some scattered people from different tribes. But as a whole, the house of Israel was not there. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have never been one again in the land of Israel since the captivity. But in John 1, verse 11, it says, he came into his own, and his own did not receive him. That's talking about Judah. What did prophecy tell us? That the Messiah was to be born of David, the house of Judah, and he was to be born in the city of Bethlehem, Micah 5, 2. So he came to his own. He came to the Jews first, and the Jews rejected him. And what did Yeshua tell them? He told them, your house is left to you desolate. He told them, now it's very interesting. We know many two-house people and people that do a lot of two-house. And I believe sometimes I think the two-house people go overboard. Sometimes they make everything into two-house. I mean, just they read in the things that aren't there. But what's interesting is this is very clear. If you're a two-house believer, it's very clear when he says your house is left to you desolate to Judah, that Judah is not the primary tribe anymore. In very, very few house teachers do I hear talking about that. But it's very clear that he sent his disciples to the lost sheep of the house of Israel because Judah, his own tribe, rejected him. He came to his own, but his own rejected him. And Judah will not come back into the fold till when? Till you say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. You know, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. Until they say that. And when will they say that? Zechariah 12:10. When you look upon me whom you have pierced, and you mourn as you mourn for an only son. When he comes back out of the clouds the second time, and they see the holes in his hands and the holes in his side, as Thomas did, then many of them will believe. But until that time, and I go into this more in the tape, the birthright and the scepter, right now Ephraim is the primary tribe of Israel. Doesn't mean that Judah can't be saved. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, if, you know, one is sowed and one is reaped. The last will be first, the first will be last. Judah had first opportunity at salvation, but now they'll be the last tribe to come back in around because of hard-headedness, because of stubbornness. And we live in Israel today about half the year, and we see it. The Jews are very obstinate. They're like the ones in Yeshua's day. They want to believe they're the chosen people because of the color of their blood. Because they're Jewish. That's enough. That's enough to make them the chosen people and to get all the promises of the kingdom. And we read in Deuteronomy 28, that's not enough. And it's never been enough. And that's what I tell them. If you're such a great people, why did you go into captivity over and over and over? Why did Yahweh with such disdain say, you've been a hard-headed people and you've never obeyed me? And even today, most of them don't see the need for forgiveness. They don't see the need for a Messiah. But we went into that last week. I don't want to, you know, be redundant on the subject because I got a lot to go over here today. But since Judah rejected him, since their house was left to them desolate, what did Yeshua do? Go to John 10, John the 10th chapter. Very interesting. Because when you start to understand that Judah is only one tribe and there's two houses of Israel, there's the northern tribe, who are called the lost tribe in history, and the southern kingdom called the kingdom of Judah, the kingdom of Israel, the kingdom of Judah, these scriptures I'm reading now start to make more sense. John, the 10th chapter, verse 14. John 10, verse 14 to verse 16. I am the good shepherd, and I know those that are mine, and I am known by the ones that are mine. Even as the Father knows me, I also know the Father, and I lay down my soul for the sheep. And I have other sheep which are not of this fold. Now, he's talking to the Jewish people at this time. He has other sheep which are not of this fold. I must also lead those, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Very, very interesting. We're going to read in a little while Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. Remember this scripture in John when we read that. Because in Ezekiel 37 is when the Messiah comes and he takes two sticks. One for the house of Ephraim, the northern tribe, and one for the southern tribe for Judah. And he puts the two sticks in one hand and he makes them one in the land. And that's what the kingdom is about. When they asked him in the very beginning of my message the last time, remember what they asked him in Acts 1, verse 6? Will you restore the kingdom at this time? See, because it's only the Messiah can bring the house of Ephraim, the northern kingdom, and the southern kingdom back together in the land. And it's never happened. Judah is in the land today, but the northern kingdom still isn't there. So this is what he's saying. He has other sheep. He has other sheep. And he needs to bring them also, because then they can be one in the land. Can it be so clear who he's talking about? He's talking about the northern kingdom, the house of Ephraim. If we go to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. And once you understand about the two houses of Israel, and it's not that it's the Jews and the Gentiles, it's the northern tribe and the southern tribe. They're all Israelites. They're all Israelites. And Gentiles come in as they join the house of Israel, as we're going to get into here shortly. But once you understand this, these scriptures make more sense. And when I start to show you here who these epistles, some of them were written to, and I could show you where Peter went on his journeys, and you will see he went to the house of Israel. He went to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's where he went and preached to. 1 Peter 1, 1 and 2, to tell them that the Messiah had come that they've been waiting for. Peter, an apostle of Yeshua Messiah, to the elect sojourners of the dispersion. The elect sojourners of the dispersion. These were the ones that went into the captivity. These were Ephraim of Pontus, of Galatia, of Cappadocia, of Asia, of Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of Yahweh the Father in sanctification of the Spirit and obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Yeshua Messiah. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. See, these are some of the areas where they went to. And I could show you. I didn't do the tape yet, but the tape I'm going to do on the outcasts of Israel, I'm going to show that you could historically show, and I hope I have a map to do this when I do the tape, where Paul went and where Peter went. And you'll see that Paul even said the Holy Spirit specifically told him not to go into certain areas. And Paul was in the southern area that were Gentile, and Peter was in the northern areas who were Israelites. Because Peter was sent with the other apostles to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and Paul was sent to the Gentiles. Paul was also sent to Israel. He had the threefold commission. He said, first, I'll send you before kings, then I'll send you before the Gentiles, and then I'll send you to the sons of Israel. And in that tape, I'll go into it. Later on in Paul's ministry, he went up toward Britain and in that area as he went through Spain in Rome. But he definitely did not go into these areas where Peter was because they had two different commissions. But Yeshua specifically sent him to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This is what it's about. This is the regathering of the kingdom. It's all about regathering Israel together as one. And you don't hear this preached in any church just about in the world. There are very, very few teachers out there who understand the regathering of Israel, who understand that Israel, Jacob, had 12 children, not one. And even though every Jew is an Israelite, not every Israelite is a Jew, because you have Reuben, you have Asher, you have Levi, you have Naphtali, you have Zebulun, Joseph, you have all different brothers. Dan, there are many, many different brothers. Gad, 12 altogether, 12 sons of Israel. Let's go to James. Let's go to James 1:1. James 1:1. James 1:1 says, James, a slave of Yahweh and of the Master Yeshua Messiah, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Or in the original, it says, the 12 tribes in the dispersion. Greeting. To the 12 tribes scattered abroad, the 12 tribes in the dispersion. Like I said, 12 brothers. Judah is only one of 12. And this is what Yeshua came to do. The first time he came, he did not come to save the Gentiles. He came to seek the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That was the message. That was what he was doing. Like I said, a little later we're going to read when he comes the second time how he will go to the Gentiles and he will be the light of the Gentiles and all the nations will seek his glory. But not now. And look, 2,000 years later, are all the nations seeking his glory? No way. They're after Allah the moon god and Vishnu this god and every kind of new age? Because he did not come for them. There's a judicial order to salvation. And first he came to redeem the covenant of Abraham. And later when he returns, it will go throughout all the earth. Let's go to Romans 9, and let's start reading about this. Let's start reading about now how the Gentiles come into play in the new covenant. Because I don't want to sound like I'm preaching something that, you know, only certain people can be saved. I don't believe that. I believe, as we'll see, anybody with a sincere heart toward Yahweh can to be saved. What I am preaching, though, is any Gentile, any Indian, any Greek, any whatever, who comes into the covenant becomes part of Israel. And there is no difference. There is no Jew or Gentile or Greek or free. There is no difference. Once he joins the covenant, he is an Israelite. He is no longer a Gentile. There's no such thing as a Gentile believer. He says, you were Gentiles in times past. Once you're a believer in Yahweh, the word Gentile literally means pagan. It means unbeliever. That's the definition of it. So once you become an Israelite, once you join the covenant, now you're Israelite. You're not a Gentile anymore. Romans 9, 1 through 5. Romans 9, 1 through 5. I tell you the truth in the Messiah, I do not lie. My conscience bearing witness with me in the Holy Spirit, that my grief is great and a never-ending pain is in my heart. For I myself was wishing to be accursed from the Messiah on behalf of my brothers, my kinsmen according to flesh, who are Israelites, who are the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the law-giving and the service and the promises. Whose are the fathers and whom is the Messiah according to flesh? He being Elohim over all, blessed forever. See, this is who the covenants were for. Israelites, the 12 tribes. This is who the Messiah came for. The 12 tribes, his brothers in the flesh. This is what Paul is telling us. And what did Yeshua say in Matthew 28? Let's go there very quickly. See, this is what the gospel message is about. It's about going to the world to seek out the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. It says, going then, disciple all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I command you. And behold, I am with you all the days until the completion of the age. See, when Yeshua sent the disciples into all nations, it wasn't to save the world at that time. It was to seek out the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's what he told them. That's what we read in Matthew 10. To go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that's who the apostles were sent to. The lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, how did the Gentiles come into play? Let's go to Acts 10. And let's see what happens when a Gentile, because when we go out to Israel, let's say now, as an elder of Yahweh, Yahweh sends me to whatever. He sends me to India to ministry to seek out our brothers. And there are believers there. There are Israelite believers in India. Blood Israelites from the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So I'm to go there now and seek them out. But while I'm seeking them out, if other Indians that are not Israelites, just regular everyday Indians, if they believe in the message I'm preaching and they want to join the house of Israel, we welcome them with open arms. See, Yahweh is not a respecter of persons. He's not. Even though the plan is to seek out the sons of Israel because he made a promise to Abraham, and this is the promise he's working on, while we're seeking out the sons of Israel, any person of any color, any race, any nation that fears and honors Yahweh, we welcome you into the covenant. We welcome you into the family. But we don't welcome your pagan idols. We don't welcome your idolatry and all your pagan customs. We welcome you to join Israel. Israel will not become pagan. That has got to be clear. Acts the 10th chapter. Acts 10, starting in verse 34. Acts 10 and starting in verse 34. And opening his mouth, Peter said, truly, and this is when Peter went to Cornelius. This is when salvation was opened to the Gentiles. And opening his mouth, Peter said, truly, I see that Elohim is not an acceptor of persons. But in every nation, the one fearing him and working righteousness is acceptable to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching the gospel of peace through Yeshua Messiah, this one is master of all. You know the thing that happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, Yeshua, the one from Nazareth, how Yahweh anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went through doing good and healing all diseases, having been oppressed by the devil because Yahweh was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They did away with him, hanging him on a tree. Yahweh raised this one up the third day and gave to him to become visible. Not to all the people, but to witnesses, the ones having been before handpicked by Yahweh, Israelites at this time. To us who ate and drank with him after his rising again from the dead. And he commanded us to proclaim to the people and to witness solemnly that it is he who has been marked out by Yahweh to be judge of the living and the dead. To this one, all the prophets witness, so that through his name, Yeshua, everyone believing in him will receive forgiveness of sins. As Peter was yet speaking these words, the Ruach Kodesh, the Holy Spirit, fell on those hearing the word. And the faithful of the circumcision, the Jews, were amazed, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on the nations, the Gentiles also. For they heard them speaking in languages and magnifying Yahweh. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these not be baptized, who the Holy Spirit received, even as we also? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Master, Yeshua. Then they asked him to remain some days. So we see this is how it started. See, Peter would have never baptized them first if they didn't get the Spirit, because he thought that salvation can only be to Israelites. But like he said, he saw that Yahweh is not a respecter of person. And that's the vision Peter saw. Had nothing to do with pork. As a matter of fact, when you look, this is at least 8 years after Yeshua died, and Peter still never ate anything unclean. So this proves, actually, that laws of clean and unclean still remained after Yeshua's death. had nothing to do with food. What Yahweh said, don't call any person unclean whom I've sanctified. And that Yahweh, in any nation where someone fears him and reveres his name, that he will allow to become part of the covenant of Israel. See, but how many believers today understand that? How many believers today, when they accept the blood of Yeshua and get immersed in water, believe that they're joining the one tree of Israel? What you see today in most churches, they preach this false replacement theology that somehow the New Testament church, congregation, has replaced Israel. That is a bunch of baloney. Israel has always been Israel. The covenants, like he said, were to Israel, nobody else. And when a true Gentile, who's not one of the lost sheep of Israel, comes into the covenant, they become part of the house of Israel, not the other way around. Let's go back to Romans. Let's go back to Romans 9. Is this clear? I mean, I'm excited when I give these kind of messages because it lays everything out in context. And I just think to anybody out there, any Sunday keeper, anyone who doesn't understand, to hear a message like this can just show them the truth, that it's really, really important to show them that they are joining the one tree of Israel, you know, when they become part of the covenant of Yahweh. Okay, Romans 9, Romans the 9th chapter, and verse 6 through 8. Romans 9, verse 6 through 8. It says, not, however, that the word of Yahweh has failed, for not all those of Israel are Israel, nor because they are Abraham's seed are all children, but in Isaac a seed shall be called. That is, not the children of the flesh are children of Yahweh, but the children of the promise are counted for a seed. And that's what I said in Galatians 3 and verse 29. If you be in Messiah, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That literally, it doesn't matter what nation you're from. It doesn't matter if you're really from the lost tribes of Israel or not. What matters is that you repent of your sins, you revere Yahweh and his word, and you join the covenant of Israel through immersion. The sign of the old covenant was circumcision. The sign of the new covenant is baptism. And that you join the everlasting covenant this way. And then you're part of the house of Israel. You're a true Israelite and heirs according to the promise. See, that's what he said. That now through Yeshua, it has become a spiritual bloodline. And are most true believers, say, Israelites? I certainly believe so. I believe the vast majority of true believers are physical bloodline Israelites, because Yahweh is fulfilling his promise to Abraham. But in the ultimate sense, it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because anyone of any race who fears Yahweh, keeps his word, repents of his sins, accepts the blood of Yeshua for forgiveness of sins, can become part of the one tree of Israel. And even in the old covenant, a Gentile could join after four generations you were able to come into the temple. I mean, now it's immediate. It's immediate upon baptism. Let's go to Romans 11 and we'll see a little more of this. Romans 11, and we'll see that Israel, the nation of Israel, the lost tribes, were not cast away. They were not cast away. Romans 11, 1. I say then, did Yahweh thrust his people, away his people? Let it not be, for I am an Israelite out of Abraham's seed, of the tribe of Benjamin. Yahweh did not thrust away his people whom he foreknew. Or did you not know the scripture which said in Elijah how he pleads with Yahweh against Israel? Well, I'm going to stop there. I'm going to drop down. But the point I'm trying to make here in verse 1 and 2 is that Yahweh did not cast away Israel, his people. Let's drop down to verse 11. I say then, did they stumble that they should fall? Again, still talking about Israel. Let it not be. But by their slipping away came salvation to the nations. See, if Israel never fell away, if they never went into captivity, if they were never dispersed throughout all the nations, then Yeshua would have never commanded the apostles to go to all the nations seeking the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So their falling away opened up salvation to the nations. Before that, you would have had to be in the nation of Israel to get salvation. But by their captivity, by their being dispersed all the way from Australia to America and all the countries in the world, now, as we go out to seek the lost sheep of the house of Israel, anybody from any nation that hears the message, welcome. Welcome. You can come and be part of the family. But by their slipping away came salvation to the nations to provoke them to jealousy. But if their slipping away is the riches of the world and the default, the riches of the nations, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you, the nations, since I am an apostle of the nations or the Gentiles. I glorify my ministry, if somehow I may provoke to jealousy my flesh, real Israelites, and may save some of them. For if their casting away is the reconciliation of the world, what is their reception except life from the dead? Now if the first fruit is holy, also the lump. And if the root is all holy, also the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off, true Israelites, and being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and became a sharer of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, it is not you that bears the root, but the root bears you. You will then say, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, for unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Don't be high-minded, but fear. For if Yahweh did not spare the natural branches, real Israelites, lest it may be he will not spare you either. Behold then the kindness and severity of Yahweh, on those having fallen severity, but on you kindness if you continue in the kindness, otherwise you will also be cut off. And those also, if they do not continue in unbelief, the Israelites, the lost tribes, they will be grafted in. For Yahweh is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the natural wild olive tree and were against nature grafted into a good olive tree, how much more these being according to nature will be grafted into their own tree? Very simple. Hey, to the Christian world out there, don't mock Israel. You should be behind Israel because like he says, they were only sent into the dispersion, into this captivity throughout the world for disobedience, for unbelief. And by them doing that, it gave salvation to Gentiles. Now that the Gentile has become part of Israel, he's no longer a Gentile. If you're a believer and you're hearing this, don't call yourself a Gentile. There's no Gentile means pagan. You are now an Israelite. You are a spiritual Israelite. You are the seed of Abraham and heirs according to the promise, just like it says in Galatians 3:29. But be for Israel, back Israel, support Israel, our brothers. You know why? Because they can be grafted back in. That is our job. We're to go out there and love them and show them and let them know that the Messiah came for them to bring them back into the one tree. What an awesome message it is. Isn't it an awesome message that Yahweh is calling us today, whether we were Gentiles in the past or were Israelite blood, he's calling us to seek out our lost brothers worldwide and bring them back into the fold. To bring them back into the fold. And the law is the same. Isaiah 56, let's go to Isaiah 56 very quickly. Isaiah 56, and I'm going to go through verse 6 through 8. Isaiah 56, and this is talking to the Gentiles who love Yahweh and join themselves to him in covenant, who keep his laws and keep his Sabbaths. Verse 2, blessed is the man who does this and the son of man who lays hold on it, keeping Shabbat from defiling it and keeping the hand from evil. Drop down to verse 6. And the sons of the alien, the strangers, the Gentiles, who join themselves on Yahweh to serve him and who love Yahweh's name, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and takes hold of my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mount and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people, saith the Almighty Yahweh, who gathers the outcasts of Israel. I will yet gather beside him his gathered ones. See? Yahweh gathers the outcasts of Israel. And in doing so, he also joins the Gentile to him, because his house will be a house of prayer for all nations. He is not a respecter of persons, but it's the same law. Isn't that interesting? He says, the ones, the Gentiles who love me and keep my Shabbat. And what do most people today who are Sunday keepers, they think they're Gentiles, they keep Sunday. If we go to Numbers 15, Numbers the 15th chapter, and verse 15, Numbers 15, 15, Numbers 15, 15, that Yahweh is not a respecter of persons, that he allows the Gentile to be joined to the covenant as well as the Israelite. But he also is not a respecter of persons, that he has one law for both of them. He doesn't have a different law for each. As for the congregation, Numbers 15, 15, there shall be one statute both for you and for the alien or the Gentile that lives with you, a never-ending statute throughout your generations. As you are, so shall the alien be before Yahweh. There shall be one law and one ordinance both for you and for the alien that lives with you. So Yahweh's not double-minded. He's not a respecter of persons. And that's why it's the same law, because the Gentile, who's not a Gentile anymore, like I said, now you're a true-blooded Israelite through the blood of Yeshua and part of the seed of Abraham. And now you have the same law as they do, but we don't have the same judgment. That is the difference from the old to the new. In the old, cursed be everyone who does not continue in all the things of the law. In the new, that curse has been taken away by Messiah. Same law, we strive to be obedient, still light to my feet, but the judgment of the law has been taken away Praise Yeshua HaMashiach. Praise his holy name. Let's go back to Romans 11 now, because we're going to see something else in Romans 11. It's very interesting. Because most people today think that any believer that's not Jewish is a Gentile. And as I've proved in this, that's not true. I've proved that the lost sheep of the house of Israel went to all nations. And most true believers today are true Israelites. And I want to show you a scripture to back that up back in Romans 11. We talked about Ephraim, the northern kingdom, being grafted back into their own tree. We were just reading that in Romans 11. Well, let's look at verse 25 now. Romans 11, 25. Right after he talks about so-called Gentiles being grafted back into the tree. Look what he says, or Israelites being grafted back into the tree. He says, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, so that you may not be wise within yourself, that hardness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the nations comes in. And so all Israel will be saved, even as it has been written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob." Very, very interesting. He says that the mystery is hardness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the nations has come in. And most people read that as Gentiles, all these Gentiles coming in from other nations. But that's not what the Bible says. Go to Genesis 48. I want to show you what the fullness of the nations is. Because do you know something? The word goy, and if you go to Israel today, if you're not a Jew, they'll call you a goy, which they translate as Gentile. But that's not what goy means. Goy means nation. And do you know, Yahweh said to Israel, "I will make a great goy out of you." That Israelites are goys. All it means is nation. And the fullness of the goy, the fullness of the nation, is through Ephraim. It's through the northern kingdom. Go to Genesis 48, starting in verse 16. Genesis 48 and verse 16. And this is when Jacob, before he died, laid hands on Joseph's two children, Ephraim and Manasseh, and he blessed them. And it says, "The angel that redeemed me from every evil, may he bless the youths, Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and may my name be called on them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac. And may they be like the fishes increase into a multitude into the midst of the earth." So he literally, they became part of Israel. Now there's not 12 sons, now there's 13. Because Joseph became Ephraim and Manasseh. They literally became two tribes. And Joseph means double portion. That's what it means, add to, double portion. And he was the firstborn. And the firstborn gets double portion. And Joseph saw that his father was putting his right hand on the head of Ephraim, and it was evil in his eyes. And he took hold of his father's hand to turn it from Ephraim's head to the head of Manasseh, the firstborn. And Joseph said to his father, "Not so, my father, for this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head." And his father refused and said, "I know, my son, I know. He also shall be a people, and he shall become great. But his younger brother shall become greater than he, and his seed shall become the fullness of the nations." And in the King James, they translate this as a multitude of nations. That is incorrect. He's saying that the seed of Ephraim will be the fullness of the nations. And when we read in Romans 11, where it says the fullness of the nations, when the fullness of the nations comes, then all Israel will be saved. He's not talking about Gentiles. He's talking about Ephraim, the lost tribes, the scattered tribes. They are the fullness of the nations. That when we go out and we gather them together, that's when the Messiah will return. That's when the Messiah will return. And we do not have a Gentile unbelieving congregation today. And most of these 1.8 billion people out there calling themselves Christians, they are part of a Gentile church. They are part of a heathen church. They have not joined themselves to the one house of Israel. You must do that to come under the everlasting covenant of Abraham. Because there's only one covenant. Remember what we said in the beginning? There's one land, there's one people, and there's one covenant. That's it. One land, one people, and one covenant. But the people have been divided. Ephraim, the northern kingdom. Judah, the southern kingdom. So we see, though, that the fullness of the nations is Ephraim. It's the gathering of the tribes together. Now, when do the real Gentiles come into play? When does Yeshua become a light to the Gentiles? And when does he save the Gentiles? After he returns. Let's go to Isaiah 66. Isaiah, the 66th chapter, and starting in verse 15. Isaiah 66 and starting in verse 15. It says, "For behold, Yahweh will come with fire, in his chariots like the tempest, to return his wrath and fury in his rebuke and flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword, Yahweh will execute judgment with all flesh, and the slain of Yahweh shall be many. Those who sanctify themselves and purify themselves to the gardens, each in the midst, eaters of swine flesh and the hateful thing, and the mouth, these shall be cut off together, says Yahweh. For I know their works and their thoughts. It comes to gather all the nations and the tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those who escape from them to the nations of Tarshish, Pul and Lud, drawers of the bow, to Tubal and Japhan, and the faraway coasts that have not heard my fame nor seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the nations. And they shall bring all your brothers out of all nations in offering to Yahweh on horses and chariots and litters and mules and on camels to my holy mountain, says Yahweh, as the sons of Israel bring the offering in a clean vessel to the house of Yahweh. Very, very clear. When Yeshua returns, he brings judgment on all the nations of the earth, and all the wicked people will be burned up at that time. But all the ones that are left, we, his true believers, will go to all these places that are named there, and we will bring salvation. What does Micah 4 say? The law will go forth from Zion to all the earth. See, right now, this is Satan's world. And all the kingdoms of this world, tell me one leader today that is a real believer in Yeshua. And don't even try to say George Bush. They're not. They're not. They're all part of this one world government. They're all part of Satan's system. And only when Yeshua returns, then salvation will go to the Gentile nations. Right now, any person from any country can become part of the covenant of Israel. But the covenant and the land and the people cannot be separated. But at that point, it will go to all nations, and all will be welcomed into the covenant. But right now, Yahweh is working through one line. He's the Elohim of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. All through the scriptures, that's the only thing he's recognized as. And it's so important to understand this, because it's why they went into captivity, as we said. It's why the Messiah had to come from the line of David, because only Israel was under the death penalty of the Sinai covenant. No other nation signed that covenant. And that's why he had to come to redeem Israel. And yet Israel was scattered all over the earth. There was only a very, very small portion when Yeshua was on the earth that lived in the nation of Israel at that time. I mean, it was 500 and something years just after the Babylonian captivity. So that's why he sent the apostles to go throughout all the world and all nations seeking the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So simple, the scriptures, when you understand this. And then what happened? Then he says in Romans, to the Gentiles who are being grafted into the covenant, don't boast. Don't boast. Because the tree is holding you, and the root is Israel. And if you boast against the natural branches, you also may get cut out. But support Israel. Because he said the time is coming when Israel will be regathered back into the covenant. And we're living in that time now. And then it says that the end will not come until the fullness of the nations. Not the Gentiles. The fullness of the nations. And who is the fullness of the nations? We read it in Genesis 48. Ephraim, Joseph, the northern kingdom. They will be the fullness of the nations. There is a certain amount of people Yahweh is working with. And when a certain amount of number comes in, that's when he'll say enough and the plan will be finished. It says in Romans 10, he's going to cut the work short in righteousness. And that's why it's so important for us to be out there doing the work of Yahweh, regathering Israel. Are there any other scriptures that talk about the regathering of Israel? This is what boggles my mind. There are so many scriptures that I can't even touch on them today, but I'm going to go through some here. Israel went into captivity, and everyone, that's the end of it. That's the end of it. Everyone thinks any Jew today is an Israelite. They think that's the only Israel. And yet all these scriptures said that they would come out of the captivity, which they never did. And yet, so few understand this. Let's go back to Hosea. Hosea, the first chapter. Now, we read in the message last week, I believe it was, in Hosea, about Israel going into captivity. We read all the bad things, you know. I will have no mercy. You will not be my people. Let me read the rest of that now in Hosea 1, starting in verse 7. Remember we read it first? They were not going to be his people, and they wouldn't sow, and he would have no mercy. But let's read what he says in verse 7. And I will have mercy on the house of Judah, and I will save them. We read that already. In verse 8, and she having weaned no mercy, she conceived and bore a son. Then he said, his name is not my people, for you are not my people, and I will not be for you, talking to Israel. Yet the number of the sons of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which is not measured or number. And it shall be in the place where it is said to them, you are not my people. It shall be said to them, sons of the living Elohim. And the sons of Judah and the sons of Israel shall be gathered together and shall set over themselves one head. And they shall go up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. What does it say when Yeshua returns? He goes to the valley of Jezreel, and this is where the great slaughter is. And the nation of Israel and the nation of Judah, two separate peoples, will be one again in the land. It's prophesied, brethren. It's prophesied that this would happen. It's prophesied that Israel would be gathered from all the four corners of the earth where they've been scattered and brought back at Yeshua's return. Let's go to Hosea 2. Let me read starting in verse 14. Hosea 2 and verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will lure her and bring her to the wilderness and speak to her heart. And from there I will give her vineyards to her in the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall answer there, as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. Talking about Israel. And at that day, says Yahweh, you shall call me my husband. And you shall no more call me my Baal or Lord. For I will take away the names of the Lord or Baals out of her mouth. And they shall no more be remembered by their name. And in that day I will cut a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and with the birds of the sky and the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and I will make them to lie down safely. And I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in judgment and in mercy and in compassions. I will even betroth you to me in faithfulness. And you shall know Yahweh. And it shall be in that day I will answer, says Yahweh. I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth. And the earth shall hear the grain and the wine and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. And I will sow her to me in the earth, and I will have mercy on no mercy. And I will say to not my people, you are my people. And he shall say my Elohim. Same thing that we read in Romans. And to the people that he said will have no mercy, they will be called sons of the living Elohim. These are not Gentiles. These are Israelites. These are the ones we read about last week that were scattered because they broke the covenant into the four corners of the earth. And brethren, we have to start to realize most New Testament believers today, most real believers, true believers, are physical bloodline Israelites. Look in your heritage. We've been scattered all over the earth. And I could tell you in many lands, you know, what tribe went into that land. I've done some study on it, and I'm very close friends with several people that have done extensive for years studying on the tribes and where they went to. Let's go to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. Because, brethren, we are living in the time where we are seeing all these things come to pass. How exciting is it? How exciting that after 3,000 years of captivity almost, 2,700 and some odd years, that we're seeing Yahweh gather his people back. That we're seeing that the Israelites that became part of these Goyim nations, and now they're becoming back. They're coming back to the covenant. How awesome. Ezekiel 36, starting in verse 16. And the word of Yahweh was to me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt on their land, they even defiled it by the ways and by their doings. As the defilement of a woman's impurity, their way was before me. So I poured out my fury on them because of the blood that they had poured out on the land, and for their idols by which they defiled it. And I scattered them among the nations, and they were sown among the lands. Exactly what we read. He scattered them among the nations, and they were sown among the lands. One sown, another reaped. I judged them by their way and by their doings. And when they entered into the nations, there where they went, they even profaned my holy name by saying to them, these are the people of Yahweh, and they have gone out of his land. But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations where they went. Therefore say to the house of Israel, so says Almighty Yahweh, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but only for my holy name, which you profaned among the nations where you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the nations where you profaned among them. And the nations shall know that I am Yahweh, declares the Almighty Yahweh, when I am sanctified in you in their eyes. For I will take you from the nations and gather you out of all the lands and bring you into your own land. Now let me ask you a question. Since the 10 tribes of Israel went into captivity in 722 BC, when did this ever happen? When did Yahweh take them out of all the lands they were scattered and bring them back into the land of Israel, except starting in our generation? It never happened. Because Israel hasn't been a nation since the Babylonian captivity. Even in the times of Yeshua, They lived in the land, but they did not control it. There will be many days without a king, without a teraphim, a household idol, without a sacrifice. They have not been a nation from 572 BC till 1948, 2,520 years, exactly the punishment Yahweh laid out in Leviticus 26. Seven times punishment for your sins. 360 days in a year times seven comes to 2,520 years. From 572 BC when they went into captivity, bingo, exactly 2,520 years, they become a nation again. Exactly like Yahweh said. The house of Israel, the northern tribe, that went into captivity sooner, they still are in captivity. But Yahweh promises that he'll take them from the nations and gather them from the lands. And this has started. Maybe an embryo. There's 5 million Jews living in Israel. Some of them are Israelites. Some of them, not all of them are Jews. But there are many, many more of our Israelite brothers, believers around the world that want to go back to the land. It'll start now, but when Yeshua returns, there'll be a greater regathering, as we're going to read about. But the fact that we're seeing it in embryo shows us how close we are to Yeshua's return. I mean, we're reading about something that he wrote 3,000 years ago that we're seeing happening. For I will take you from the nations and gather you out of all the lands and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean waters on you, the waters of baptism. And you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your defilement and from all your idols. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit within you, the new covenant. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, and you shall be a people to me, and I will be Elohim to you. I will also save you from all your defilements, and I will call for new grain and increase it, and I will not pour famine on you. I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the produce of the field, in order that you will not anymore receive the disgrace of famine among the nations. Then you shall remember your evil ways, like we talked about last week, all the idolatry, and your doings that were not good, and you will despise yourself in your own eyes for your iniquities and for your abominations. I am not doing this for your sake, declares Yahweh. Let it be known. Be ashamed and be confounded for your ways, O house of Israel. Very, very clear. Very, very clear, these promises. How exciting is it to be part of this time that we're seeing this happening? We're seeing it happening. Let's go to Amos 9. Amos, the 9th chapter. And starting in verse 11. Because there's so many scriptures that talk about Yahweh regathering Israel, not the Jews, but Israel, all the tribes, that has never happened. And most theologians today, they don't even look at this. And this is the kingdom of Yahweh. This is what it's about. It's about the Messiah regathering all tribes back to the land and reigning over them in peace. Amos 9, starting in verse 11. In that day I will raise up the booth or the tabernacle of David that has fallen. This is from Acts 15. And will wall up its breaks, and I will raise up its ruins, and I will build it as the days of old, so they may possess the remnant of Edom in all the nations on whom my name is called, declares Yahweh, who's doing this. So the temple will be rebuilt, but in that day, in the day that the Messiah comes. Behold, the days are coming, the plowman and the reaper shall draw near, the treader of grapes, and he who draws along the seed. And the mountains will drip must, and all the hills will be dissolved. And I will turn back the captivity of my people Israel. And they shall build the cities which are desolate. And they shall dwell, and they shall plant vineyards and drink their wine. And I will plant them on their land, and they will not be uprooted again from their land, which I have given to them, says the Almighty Yahweh. This land is the promised land in the Middle East called the nation of Israel. It is not the country of Britain, America, or any other country. The plan was to scatter them throughout the world, number one, to punish them for their sins, and number two, to open up salvation to all people of all races. What an awesome plan. Then in the end time, he gathers them back from all the nations they're gathered. He brings them back to the land of Israel, and the Messiah comes back and rebuilds the tabernacle of David, and they have 1,000 years of peace. What an awesome plan. And we're seeing it. We're seeing it with our eyes. We're seeing these things happening. Let's go to the book of Micah. Go to the book of Micah, the 4th chapter. This is what the kingdom is all about. Not about an organization, not about a fuzzy feeling inside of you. It's about a real kingdom. The kingdom that was with Solomon and David. The kingdom that wasn't when they went into captivity. The kingdom that was restored by Yeshua's death and resurrection. And the kingdom to come that will last forever when he returns. A real kingdom. Micah 4, 1 through 8. But it shall be in the end of the days we're living in. The mountain of the house of Yahweh shall be established on the top of the mountains. And it shall be lifted up from the hills, and people shall flow to it. And many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, and to the house of the Elohim of Jacob. See, in the millennium, all nations will be part of it. Only then, when Yeshua returns, is salvation opened to the rest of the world. Right now, the covenant is through the seed of Abraham. And to the house of the Elohim of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth out of Zion, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. And he will judge between many peoples, and will decide for strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords in the plowshares, and their spears in the pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up a sword against nation, nor shall they learn war any more. But they shall each one sit under his vine, and under his fig tree. And there shall be no more trembling, for the mouth of Yahweh of hosts has spoken. For all the peoples walk, each one in the name of his God. But we will walk in the name of Yahweh, or Elohim, forever and ever. In that day I will gather the lame, declares Yahweh, and I will gather the banished, and the one I have afflicted, Ephraim. And I will make the lame into a remnant, and her who was cast off into a strong nation, the house of Israel. And Yahweh shall reign over them in Mount Zion, and on forever and ever. And you, tower of the flock, the hill of the daughter of Zion, it shall happen to you. And the rulers, the chief ones, shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. Wow, some powerful scriptures. Real, real powerful. Let's go to Micah 7. Micah the 7th chapter. Micah 7, verse 18. Who is Elohim like you, forgiving iniquity and passing by the transgressions of the remnant of his possession? He does not make strong his anger forever, for he delights in his grace. Wow, good scripture there. He will return to show us compassion. He will trample our iniquities. And you will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. You will give faithfulness to Jacob and kindness to Abraham, which you sworn to our fathers from the days of old. Forgiveness through the new covenant, through the blood of Yeshua. How awesome. Let's go to Zephaniah. Zephaniah. Just a little book before Haggai. Zephaniah. The 3rd chapter, starting in verse 14. Zephaniah 3, starting in verse 14. Shout for joy, daughter of Zion. Shout, Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, daughter of Jerusalem. Yahweh has turned off your judgments. He has turned away your enemy. Yahweh, the king of Israel, is in your midst. You shall not fear evil anymore. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear not, Zion. Do not let your hands droop. Yahweh, your Elohim, is mighty in your midst. He will save. He will rejoice over you with joy. He is silent in his love. He rejoices over you with a joyful shout. I will gather the afflicted ones from the appointed place. They were from you a lifting up of reproach over her. Behold, at that time I will deal with all those who afflict you, and I will save her who is lame and gather who was thrust out, and I will give them for a praise and for a name in all the land of their shame. In that time I will bring you, even in that time I will gather you, for I will give you for a name and for a praise among all the people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before their eyes, says Yahweh. Over and over and over. Every single prophet talks about the restoring of Israel. Of course, the apostles, when Yeshua was on the earth, of course they asked him, will you restore the kingdom to Israel at this time? Every prophet prophesied about it. And yet in the 2,000 years since Yeshua's death and resurrection, what do you see? You see most churches preaching all this baloney out there. How often do you ever hear preachers preaching about this, the real kingdom message, the returning of Israel to their land? Let's go to Isaiah 11. Isaiah, the 11th chapter. And you know how 6 days were given for creation, the 7th day was the Sabbath? We see the same thing. 6,000 years have been given to man, run his own systems, his worldly ways and everything, and now Yeshua Messiah is coming to the earth to set up the millennium for 1,000 years of peace. The Sabbath rest, the true Sabbath rest, the millennium. And a shoot, Isaiah 11, 1, and a shoot goes out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch will bear fruit out of his roots. Zechariah 6, verse 8, who is that branch? It's Yeshua. And the Spirit of Yahweh shall rest on him. He will have the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and power, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of Yahweh. And he is made to breathe in the fear of Yahweh. But he shall not judge by the seeing of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But he shall judge the poor in righteousness, and he shall decide rightly for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and he will slay the wicked with the breath of his lips. In righteousness shall be the encircler of his thighs, in faithfulness the encircler of his loins. And the wolf shall lie with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie with the kid. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little boy leads them. The cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie together, and the lion shall eat straw with the ox. And the infant shall play in the hole of the asp, the snake. Yea, the weaned child shall put his hand on the viper's den. They shall not do evil nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of Yahweh, as the water covers the sea. And it shall be in that day the root of Jesse stands as a banner for the people. Nations shall seek to him, and his resting place shall be glory. Wow, how awesome. How awesome that we see how this millennium is going to be, how awesome it's going to be. Let's go to Isaiah 35. That when the Messiah comes back, like I said, he had to come the first time to conquer sin. And now he's coming the second time for those waiting for him for salvation. Isaiah 35, starting in verse 3. We see about the Messiah being a healer. Isaiah 35 and verse 3. Blooming, it shall bloom and exalt, even with joy and singing. Lebanon's glory shall be given to it, the honor of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of Yahweh, the majesty of our El. Make the weak hand strong and firm up the feeble knees. Say to those of a hasty heart, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your Elohim is coming with vengeance, with the full dealing of Elohim. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf opened. Then the lame shall leap like the deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For water shall break out in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. And the mirage shall become a pool, and the thirsty land shall become springs of waters. In the home of jackals, in the lair, in the place of the reed and rush. And a highway shall be there, and a way it shall be called, the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, and it will be for them the wayfaring one. Yea, fools shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, no violent beast shall go up on it. It shall not be found there, but redeemed ones shall walk there. And the ransom of Yahweh shall return and enter Zion with singing and everlasting joy on their head. Gladness and joy shall reach them, and sorrow and sighing shall flee. Man, this is the millennium. Yeshua coming back, heal the blind, the sick, just like he did when he was here before. And like it says about water coming out in the desert, and today as you go down toward Egypt, there's spots over there that literally they're finding waters, they're finding wells in the desert, waters in the desert. And our tour guide, Miha, was saying every time he passes there, he thinks of the scripture because it's coming to pass. We are seeing these scriptures happening. We're living in a time where we're seeing so many scriptures happening. And you know what? Let's go to Isaiah 65, because the main part about this is that the 12 tribes will be back in their land. Isaiah 65 and verse 17. Isaiah 65 and verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the things before shall not be recalled, and shall not go up on the heart. However, be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping and the voice of crying shall no longer be heard in her. There shall not still be an infant of days or an old man that has not filled his days. For the youth shall die the son of 100 years, but the sinner the son of 100 years shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and live in them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another live in them. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of the tree are the days of my people, and my elect shall grow old to the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for terror, for they are the seed of the beloved ones of Yahweh, and their offspring with them. And it will be before they call, I will answer. While they're speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed as one, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the dust is the food of the snake. They shall not do evil, nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says Yahweh. And you know, living in Israel a good part of the year as I read this, and I think of the peace, it almost brings tears to the eyes. Because today, there's only terror there. You know, it talks about in Jeremiah because they went into this false peace agreement, the Oslo Agreement 93, that they looked for peace but only terror came because they were looking for another way to peace instead of Yahweh. And there's a great cleansing that's got to come in that land. But boy, I just, when I read this, I just think the days where there'll be only peace over there, how wonderful it will be. How wonderful. And to see it happening today, to see that, like I said, if you get our tape, Israel the Fig Tree, I can prove to you from Scripture, not only are we the last generation, but we are very late in the last generation. And to literally see prophecy fulfilled, and to see Yahweh's word coming about, and to see Israel being regathered to their land, it's just the most awesome thing. Let's go to Ezekiel 47, Because in Ezekiel 47, it talks about all 12 tribes being in their own land. Ezekiel 47, and starting in verse 13. Ezekiel 47 and verse 13, it says, "So says the Almighty Yahweh, this shall be the border by which you shall inherit the land, by the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph shall have two borders, two portions, for Ephraim and for Manasseh, and you shall inherit it, each man like his brother, that I lifted up my hand to give to your fathers. Even this land shall fall to you in the inheritance. And this is the border of the land to the north side, from the great sea, the way of Hethlon, to the entrance of Zedad, Hamath, Berothoth, Sibron, which is between the border of Damascus and the border of Hamath, Hazer Radikon, which is by the border of Haran. And the border shall be from the sea of Hazar Enon to the border of Damascus, and the north, northward, even the border of on the north side. And you shall measure the east from between that side." And let me drop down. He's telling all the different borders that will be. "And you shall divide this land for yourselves by the tribes of Israel," verse 21. "And it will be, you shall make it fall by lot for an inheritance to yourself and to the aliens who sojourn among you." The Gentiles, like we said, who become part of the tree of Israel, "who shall father sons among you. And they shall be to you as native born among the sons of Israel." Like I said, no difference between them. We're all one. "They shall be allotted inheritance among the tribes of Israel. And it shall be in the tribe in it which the alien sojourns, there shall you give inheritance, declares the Almighty Yahweh." So we see during the millennium, all 12 tribes will be back to their lands. Anybody that has a good study Bible, you'll see in the back, it tells where all the lands are situated, and they'll all be in that land. Let's go back, Ezekiel, a few chapters to 37. I just want to read part here about the Messiah taking the house of Ephraim and the house of Judah and making it one in the land when he returns. Ezekiel 37 and verse 15. "And the word of Yahweh was to me, saying, And you, son of man, take one stick for yourself and write on it for Judah and for his companions, the sons of Israel. Then take another stick and write on it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim and all the house of Israel, his companions. And draw them one to one for yourself into one stick. And they shall become for oneness in your hand. And when the sons of your people shall speak to you, saying, Will you not declare to us what these mean? Say to them, So says the Almighty Yahweh, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim," that's Joseph's son, "and the tribes of Israel, his companions, and I will put them with him, with the stick of Judah, and will make them one stick, and they shall be one in my hand. And the stick shall be in your hand, the sticks on which you write before their eyes, and say to them, So says the Almighty Yahweh, Behold, I take the sons of Israel from among the nations, there where they have gone, and I will gather them from all around, and I will bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land, on the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be a king to all of them. And they shall not be two nations still. And they will not be split into two kingdoms anymore. And they will not still be defiled with their idols, even with their filthy idols, not with all their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places in them where they have sinned. And I will cleanse them. And they shall be to me for a people, and I will be to them for Elohim. And my servant, my beloved one, shall be king over them. And there shall be one shepherd to them all, and they shall walk in my judgments and keep my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell on my land that I have given to my servant to Jacob, there where your fathers dwelt in it. And they shall dwell in it, they and their sons, and the sons of and their sons forever. And my servant, my beloved, shall be ruler over them." David means beloved. "And I will cut a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them, and I will give my sanctuary in their midst forever. And my tabernacle shall be with them, and I will be their Elohim, and they will be a people to me. And the nation shall know that I, Yahweh, sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary will be in their midst forever." Is there any doubt what the plan of Yahweh is? Is there any doubt after reading all these scriptures what Yahweh is doing? It is just so clear if we take the Bible as a whole and look at the plan beginning with Abraham, working through to the nation of Israel, through David and the kings, to the dispersion when they went into captivity, which opened up salvation to the world, to Yeshua coming and dying for sin, to sending his disciples to seek out the lost tribes and bring them back. And like the Bible says, Ephraim, the northern tribes, will be the fullness of the nations. They will come from these Gentile nations back to the land of Israel. And then the Messiah returns and he gathers the rest of the tribes from all over the earth and brings them back into their own land. You know, Revelation 5:10, you don't have to turn there, but it says that we will be kings and priests with Yahweh, and we will reign with him for 1,000 years. Revelation 20:4-6, you don't have to turn there, but it says the same thing. You know, that Whoever is involved in the first resurrection, blessed is he, because we will reign with Yeshua for the 1,000 years. If we're called today, if we have the opportunity, if we have been honored by Yahweh, out of all these billions of people out there, to be called to work and be a son of his and to work and be part of this plan, what awesome part it is. But you know, like the parable of the talents, we have to work. Because in the parable of the talents, it says, occupy till I come. And that Greek word literally means trade, keep busy. That our salvation is not called just for us. If there's one thing we learn from these two sermons, these last two, is that salvation was through Israel. And it's Yahweh's plan to redeem Israel back to him. And if we are working for Yahweh, do not say there are yet 4 months of the harvest. Look up. The harvest is white already. The time is getting short, brethren, and every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Yeshua, 2 Corinthians 5:10, and give account for the things done in the flesh, good or evil. We have to start getting behind the work of Yahweh, what he's doing. And for nothing else, we should be praying every day for the nation of Israel and the work that Yahweh is doing there. Because Yahweh said in Leviticus 25:23 to never sell the land of Israel, that the land belongs to him. Because he made this promise that we talked about, and he's redeeming Abraham's children to bring them back to that land that he promised. And the nations of this world are trying to take that land away. And this is going to wind up a terrible, terrible end for the nations of this world. Like I said, get our tape, Israel the Fig Tree. I go into very much detail on this, and you'll see that it's not going to end up good. But anybody from any race can join himself to the one tree of Israel. Yahweh is not a respecter of persons, but his plan is with Israel. Yahweh has not become a pagan Elohim, but the pagans have become Israelites and part of the one tree of Israel. Romans 9, 10, 11 is clear about this. All the parables about the kingdom, the talents given to each of us, this is the work of Yahweh. How dedicated are we to helping Yahweh, calling back the sons of Israel? And how much are we just dedicated to our own life? So I pray that you benefited from this message, and please, make copies of this message. Give them out to people. Give them out to people that really don't understand the plan of Yahweh, and let them see the whole plan from beginning to end. And hopefully, to get the same excitement that we're getting. Because the time is short. And Yeshua said, when you see these things start to happen, look up, for our salvation is near.